Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Johnny Burton, Director, Mineral Management Service of the U.S. Department of Interior. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us on our conversation also from IBM is Steve Sika. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Johnny, not many of our listeners might have heard of MMS or the Mineral Management Services. Could you tell us about its history and its mission and how it fits into the Department of Interior?
The Department of the Interior is really the department that is charged with being the steward of all public lands. So starting from that, you can see how that department is going to have different bureaus that will specialize in different aspects of public lands. The Minerals Management Service, as the name indicates, is charged basically with managing public lands offshore, which sounds kind of strange when you talk about lands offshore. They're submerged lands, but nonetheless, they are federal territory. So we manage the submerged lands only in view of production of energy. That is oil and gas production, but there could be other minerals. We also handle sand and gravel, this kind of thing. We also have a second mission, which some people will argue with me is the main mission of the agency, which is to collect for the American public the revenue that come from those lands, and specifically the revenue that comes from minerals. So we collect rent, we collect royalties on all minerals produced onshore and minerals produced offshore. This amounts to quite a bit of money, as you might imagine, and we are one of the top agencies bringing money to the federal treasury. Last year, I think we brought in about a little over $8 billion to the treasury from different revenue from minerals. We also collect money from, and I'm going to use a term here that may not mean the same to everyone, so I'll define it quickly, from bonuses. That is that onshore as well as offshore, some of the public land are put up for auction, if you will, for the right to exploit a mineral. And that auction brings in a certain amount of money on the very front end. For example, we have several lease sales on the offshore per year. And depending on which part of the offshore we are putting up for auction, the money can vary from the last sale we had was in Alaska in the Beaufort Sea off the North Slope, and it was somewhere around $46-47 million in bonuses alone. But then you compare that to the Central Gulf of Mexico, where the bonuses run into $300-400 million, depending on the year, depending on the sale. So this is a considerable amount of money. Then we collect rent on those leases, and then we collect royalty if the leases produce. If I want to tell you how this agency came about, because it really is a very new, by federal standard, a very new agency. It's only about 22, 23 years old. It was created by an executive order. The people who did the jobs were scattered in different parts of the Interior Department, the USGS, the Geological Survey, the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Mine. There were different bureaus. And in 1982 or so, all these people were put together into one agency, which is now the Minerals Management Service. And it was created by executive order, which means that it is the only bureau in Interior that does not have its own organic act, its own congressional statutes, if you will, legislative statutes. So it's a little bit different. But this is what we do. We're a small agency. We're a new agency. we have a very narrow focus.
Even though you have a narrow focus, how would you describe the skill sets of the employees on your team? As you were describing it, I imagine engineers and geologists, and then when you began to speak about the money, I thought about such a wide range of skills.
You're correct. We have a narrow focus, but we have a very broad set of skills that are required. Obviously, in managing the offshore land, we need a lot of scientists, because besides just managing the land itself and the leases and the rights to drill and then the drilling operation and so on, we do a fair amount of research and we do a fair amount of study of the marine environment. So we have oceanographers, we have marine biologists, we have geophysicists, we have geologists, obviously. We have a whole slew of scientists at various level that have very specific skill sets in some areas. We also have obviously lots of engineers, because when a company wants to drill, and then later on if they find petroleum and they will have a production facility, a platform, we need folks that are capable of telling whether this is safely done or not. And that means different kinds of engineers. So we have people that watch what industry does, that set the standards, that help write the rules that industry will have to follow, with the overarching goal of keeping the environment safe, keeping the people safe. That's really a very important part of what we do. So we do have a lot of engineers. And then when it comes to collecting the money, we obviously have to check on what industry reports to us, which means we have lots of auditors. We need to not only check that they reported what they really produced, but we need to check that they reported the fair market value of what they produced. And that in itself is a whole different area. We have to check on markets. We have to check on indices. We have to make sure that industry has deducted from its proceeds what it was allowed by rule or statute to deduct, and that they paid the fair amount. So we do a lot of valuation of minerals and a lot of auditing, obviously. Then we have to process all this data. So we have a fairly good size IT type group of people. Then we have to distribute that to the various recipient of that money. And if it is onshore, a lot of the money that comes from onshore mineral is split with the state. In fact, the states receive 50% of anything that is produced within their borders from federal lands, except for Alaska, which gets about 90%. So we do have to keep books that are fairly complex. We also put money in various accounts within Treasury, and we have to make sure this is properly done. In order to make sure that we're doing our job correctly, we are audited. We ourselves are audited every year. We have a financial audit within the department, and each bureau is audited, and we have to reconcile all the accounts. So we have a fairly good financial group plus a technical group.
Johnny, speaking of employee skill sets, could you describe your own role and responsibilities as the director of the Mineral Management Service?
Well, you know, you need somebody to blame when things go wrong. That's what the boss is for. Each bureau at the Department of the Interior is led by a director who is an appointed person. It is a political appointment. We serve at the pleasure of the secretary, the president, the Senate, you know, whatever the setup is. Typically, people that head bureaus are people that have demonstrated some good administrative skills, not necessarily technical skills. Although I can tell you from my personal experience that in this particular position, it helps a lot to understand how that particular industry that we regulate functions. And it's nice to have had some background in that industry. But basically, what I must make sure of is that everything is done according to statutes, according to regulation, that the staff does what it's supposed to do and that the train runs on time, so to speak. I also have to make sure I have a good interface with industry. We regulate an industry, but we also very dependent on that industry to produce the energy this nation needs. Therefore, we need to talk to them. We need to understand their needs as well as they need to understand how we expect them to do their job. So it's really a people's job. It's leading an organization in the direction the president wants it to be led, which in this case is produce more energy, but do it extremely safely and be very sensitive to the environment and to the safety of the people. So that's what I do.
You've had a really interesting career. I was wondering if you could share some of your past positions with us before you were appointed as the director back in March of 2002.
Well, before I was appointed to this position, I served the governor of my home state of Wyoming. I was a member of his cabinet and was asked to run a department for the state, and the department was the Revenue Department, which in Wyoming is the department that handles taxes, state taxes, sales tax certainly, which is a big part of the state. Now, the state of Wyoming does not have an income tax, so it's a much smaller department than you would have in any state that has an income tax, but we handled sales tax. We valued the property for property taxes, and the major part of the job was mineral taxes, which gave me a wonderful preparation for the job I do now. Although royalty and taxes are not the same thing, I had to deal with valuation of mineral, with relationship with a company, with making sure everything was done correctly, with auditing company to make sure they were paying their severance tax as well as their property tax on minerals. And that's what I did for 7 years for the governor.
That's a very interesting background. What is deep shelf gas and why is it important? We'll ask MMS Director Johnny Burton to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.